You are now listening to NIIT Radio.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Thanks a lot for coming in. My name is Sailesh Lala. I represent NIIT Cognitive Arts. We're a large learning solutions company. One of the things that we do is design and develop scenario-based learning. And today what we're going to talk about is one of the experiences, one of the very enriching experiences that we had with one of our clients, Karen Grissom. Karen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Karen Grissom, and I'm with KFC, and I lead our training development team in Louisville. We had a terrific opportunity to partner with NIIT Cognitive Arts on some of our virtual learning, and that's what we're going to take you through today.
Excellent. So this is what we're going to talk about. Just backing up a little bit, as you may well know, KFC has tens and hundreds of thousands of sort of Gen Y employees. So whenever you put out a learning program, you know, learner engagement is extremely critical. How do you grab the attention of the Gen Y employees? And I don't know if some of you attended Rob's session earlier. One of the big pushes at Yum, which is the parent organization, which includes brands like KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut, from a corporate perspective, there's an enormous push to move into e-learning. So traditionally, there's been a lot of paper-based training. But over the last couple of years, there's been a phenomenal push to move towards e-learning. And one of the biggest steps that has been taken in that direction is KFC moving into using e-learning as a standard method for delivering training at the restaurant. So whether it's the team member, whether it's the shift supervisor, and then we're working on some other roles as well. So the background to this is, if you look at the audience, you know, they're probably 18 to 25 years old, coming from, you know, the most latest social learning, mobile learning, gaming-based environments, and they're now at the restaurant, and our job is to create a very engaging learning intervention, which not only grabs the attention of learners, but at the end of the day, drives real business results, because at the end of the day, we are all accountable and responsible for driving business results. So the agenda for today is we're going to talk a little bit about the business case for this particular initiative. We're going to dig into the virtual world solution. What was the overall solution? Why we thought about it? And then bulk of the time we're going to spend about actually developing the virtual world. Well, what are the important ingredients in making it come alive, in making it look real, and also delivering key business goals and key business impact. And then we're going to show you a few examples of the different types of things that we did. And please stop us at any point in time, ask questions. We'll reserve some time at the end as well. Please, we want to make it as interactive as possible. As much as we want to share what we have achieved and what we have done, we'd also like to learn a lot from you guys. Anybody who's sort of in this room, involved in this kind of activity, we'd love to learn lessons from you as well.
Right. So if we continue on with that thinking, really what we did is we created a virtual world. And creating that virtual world in my shoes was actually pretty easy because they did all of the hard work in creating the virtual world. But where it was really difficult for us is that virtual world had to feel real for our team members. Although it had to be fun, it still had to feel very real for them. But that's really kind of the next step. Let's take one step back and talk about the business case. How did we really get to where we are today? Boy, it started like this. We have piles and piles and tons of paper-based materials. In fact, you could say we probably overprescribe from a training material standpoint, which I'm sure many of you do as well. So we started with, we had six binders full of standards. We had job aids, we had standards cards, we had trainer outlines, we had just about everything that you could think of. And with all of that in mind, you have to realize that it was probably outdated, you couldn't find it, so there was this big challenge to really keep things current. So what we started to stray towards, and we're trying to catch ourselves before we get there, is what we call tribal knowledge training, where I'm going to teach you how I learned it, regardless of what the real standard is. So I teach you how I learned it, which includes all of my little shortcuts I've learned along the way. Now somebody else teaches it the way they learned it with all of their shortcuts along the way. So we've started to even transition away from our standards, which is really not where we want to be as a brand if we're trying to drive really a more consistent training process. So we started with goal of making a consistent training process and one that truly engaged our team members. And part of that was creating the virtual world and making it something that they truly wanted to be around. We also had another very big, bold goal. We call it an emotional word picture as we got started into the process. And here's how what our bold goal was, is that we wanted every team member to look forward to their next training experience as much as they look forward to their next paycheck. Well, that is a big, old, huge, giant, bold goal. And that's where NAIT came in. We searched far and wide for somebody that truly could get that same vision that we had and had a lot of great ideas of how we were going to move that forward into KFC's training, into KFC's training programs. So let me go ahead and advance us on here and turn it back over to Shailesh.
So, you know, the moment people start thinking about virtual worlds, immediately, what's the first thought that comes into mind? All right, let's look at how this would look in a video game, you know, or how would this look in the Second Life? And I think that's the first trap that many of us fall into. I think our challenge is, yes, we need to make it engaging, but more importantly, it's got to ring true. You know, and it's got to deliver business results. So, you know, if you've, you know, played sort of corporate games or have been involved in Second Life instances, what is the biggest feedback that you get? It was great, engaging. That's not what my real job looks like. This is not where I live in my real life. So, you know, the Second Life and the video games are always separate. What we wanted to create was something as engaging, if not more. But at the same time, make it look very, very real. This is what happens in the restaurants every day. So that's the sort of challenge that we are looking to overcome as well. So the overall solution, do you mind, Karen,
no.
if you want to go back a slide?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
The overall solution that we put together was for this particular initiative, we built two curricula. One was for team member, and the other one was for the shift supervisor. And the curricula had a series of interventions around everything that they really needed to do to get better at their job. So it consisted of two components, essentially. One was a number of e-learning modules which were tremendously scenario-driven, but at the same time were guided in nature. So, you know, there were a prescribed path that people would follow. There were structured set of decisions that they would be presented. There was coaching and feedback at, you know, appropriate points in time. And then in the end, after they're done with all their scenario-based training modules, we created what we call a capstone simulation. The capstone scenario or the capstone simulation was a much more unguided environment. You know, this is, now you've gone through all your training, now it's almost like go and do it in the real world. We were not going to prescribe you a menu. We're not going to give you a certain path. You got to go and deliver the results that you learned in the training. So two components, you know, scenario-based learning modules ended with a capstone scenario and simulation. And we did that same thing for team members, and then we did the same set of things for the shift supervisor. So just a high-level view of the total, it was about 20 courses, 10 each, 10 courses for each role. And each course was less than an hour, so 45 minutes to an hour, depending upon, you know, which paths you take and how far you branch out and so on and so forth.
So if we're looking at our planning process and how we really got started, we're just going to focus on a few of them today that really made a difference in our planning process. We're going to start with our the critical mistakes, the plot sketches, and the character settings, because those were really key as our front-end work. Some of the work we did in the beginning to really make this happen and come to life very quickly. And then we'll transition over to some of the other pieces around our graphic mock-ups, our functional prototypes, and then our casting samples. So we'll transition over to that side.
So one of the important things about virtual worlds is the sense of drama. So every step that we take, we want to dramatize situations, and we always want to have a sense of drama. So how do we get started? The first step in our process is what we call critical mistake analysis or critical mistakes. Very simply put, our front-end analysis or critical mistake analysis leads us to creating those dramatic situations which we are going to leverage in the training courses. These critical mistake analysis also serve as sort of prioritized learning objectives for us. The way we look at learning objectives is slightly different than sort of the traditional instructional design view of it. So what we try to do is say, what are the real world decisions that people need to make? And what are those decisions which have the most significant impact on business? And which are those decisions which separate, let's say, peak performers from average performers? And these decisions are very, very real. They're not theoretical. Can you follow the seven-step sales process? Or can you lay out a restaurant in these seven steps? If you look at the chart, it says, you know, things like hiding, falsifying team member overages or shortages by entering or deleting orders by adding cash. You know, it's a very, very specific behavior that we observed, which differentiates a good shift supervisor from an average shift supervisor. What we try to do when we do this analysis is we not only try and capture the critical mistake, but we also capture several components with it. The first one is rationale. We believe that, you know, people, unless, you know, in some extreme cases, people come into the work to actually do it well. So if they made a mistake, what was the rationale that drove that particular behavior? The second thing we try and capture is consequence, which is when this happens, what's the very real consequence in the real life situation? What should be the correct action in this particular situation? And why is this correct? Why is this better than the choice that you thought you made? What we also do is rank each of these on three simple parameters. Each critical mistake, so when we do a critical mistake analysis, most of the time we spend a lot of time in observation. So we actually went out to, you know, many, many stores, watched people perform their tasks, and built out this list of critical mistakes. Now, all mistakes aren't created equal. So, you know, what we then try and do is size the opportunity of each mistake. And what we try to do is put three simple parameters to it. How often does it happen? What is the cost or impact of this mistake to the business? And the third parameter, which very often people ignore, is can training actually rectify this mistake? Because what we also understand is that the root cause for many decisions or behaviors is perhaps not the lack of skill or knowledge, but sometimes a separate set of factors. You know, your goals may be set up inappropriately, or your manager may have told you to do things differently, and so on and so forth. So what we want to do is make sure that whatever training we build, it's actually going to impact, have an impact. So, you know, if the opportunity for training to solve that problem is really low, you know, then that critical mistake goes down in the list of priorities. So in some cases we do very, very hard quantitative numbers on this. In a few cases we've actually gone down to putting dollars against each, you know, if we can correlate it with operations teams and, you know, correlate it to the loss of sale and so on and so forth. In 90% of the cases, what we're doing is sort of a qualitative version of this. So we'll rank these on a scale of 1 to 5. But regardless, whether you put dollars or not, it gives you a very clear method of saying, this is a green. This actually we don't need to worry about. You know, so either it doesn't happen too frequently, or when it happens, it's not a big impact, or training is not going to solve that problem. If there's either of these are big factors, this is a green, we actually don't want to worry about it. So what we do is we categorize these in red, amber, and green. And it gives us a phenomenal method. If your training budget is limited, if the number of hours that you can have the learner for is limited, you want to make sure that you're getting the biggest bang for your buck. So this upfront analysis piece allows us to have a very clear business impact and a business goal for the training that we are trying to create. So we can go back to, you know, the leadership at KFC and say, here are the behaviors that we are trying to solve through this particular training. And if we are able to do that, if we are able to move the bar up on any of these behaviors, would it have the right impact on your business? And once we get that acknowledgement, it's almost like a contract between the learning function and the business group. So this is a powerful method that we have used across different industries to really align what we are trying to build towards business impact. And this is sort of forms the front-end piece of everything that we do. So when we started out, we visited stores, we did a lot of observation, we built a list of critical mistakes, we assigned sort of priorities to them, and then we validated that. And once that, you know, we knew that this is sort of the scope of our problem, or this is what we are trying to fix. This also gives us really dramatic situations, which we are going to use when we build our training. So what we're going to do is obviously put people in those situations where they're actually going to encounter these decisions and then perhaps fail. So we're going to play out, we're going to dramatize things, we're going to play out consequences. So this gives us sort of the set of things that we're going to put our learners through. And because this has been got from the field, it's going to be very real. You know, so the first reaction that we get from, you know, learners who actually go through this training, oh my God, this is exactly what happened to my store. So this is not a theoretical, as I said earlier, 7-step sales process or 5-step to do this. These are very real specific behaviors and decisions that people have to go through every day. So that's sort of the front end piece of what we do in creating the virtual world.
So the next thing we want to talk about is really going after our plot sketching. So as we, or actually let's jump right over to our character setting. This area was really one of the most impactful pieces for us. And we took quite a bit of time to establish just the right characters and making sure that they were real life characters that they have in their restaurants every single day. We have our team members range from 16 to, you know, 85 years old in our restaurants. We needed characters that everyone could connect to and characters that truly represented what our restaurants looked like as well. So we went through this process, and you think about when somebody's casting a show, there's always going to be that character that's there for humor. There's going to be that character there that shows makes mistakes all the time. And there's going to be that character that's there that helps to bring reality to the situation and shows that things aren't as bad as they appear. So we spent quite a bit of time, and this is one of our key characters here. His name is Cody. Cody's 18 years old, and let me just tell you, he's the wild and crazy guy who thinks he knows everything and talks like an 18-year-old and really brings all of the courses to life. He makes a ton of mistakes, by the way. And so what happened with Cody as we were rolling out our training and people started going through our training courses is when somebody makes a mistake now in our restaurants, they say, oh, you pulled a Cody. So they've actually started to really attach mistakes with this particular character. And that's why it was so important that we had just the right characters. We've got a cook. Many of our cooks have been around forever. It feels like forever, and I'm sure they feel like it too. But we have a cook, his name is AJ, and he's one of the older employees in here. Although he's not old, he's definitely an older employee. And he's kind of one of those that doesn't like change. And we've got those two. They come in and say, can you believe it? I thought AJ was going to walk out. So that's how our team members start talking about the learning now. So they truly have connected to it. And they've connected to it from one, it was a real life experience and things they truly needed to know to do their job. But the other part is the characters really help them connect to it as well. So that's really been one of the key pieces of it. And again, we spent a lot of time in the beginning. We looked at a lot of actors and actresses. I said, no, that one just doesn't look right. It was not just the look, but it was the way they presented themselves. And they really needed to be able to work kind of cohesively together, represent our workforce, but then also help us tell the story.
And I cannot underemphasize or overemphasize the importance of characters. So if you look at, you know, any of the shows that we watch, if you look at the scripting process, that goes on behind the scenes, each of the characters actually has backstories, mm-hmm. which the audience never gets to see. But the writers actually use those backstories because they are aware of them to build out the character, which makes it look very real. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, in the world of corporate learning, I think this is where we go wrong the most. And I think there are three big sort of, you know, pitfalls when we create characters in virtual worlds, in corporate learning. First, I think, you know, the characters are just not ambitious enough. We're not just not ambitious enough in creating characters. So we end up doing sort of bland, stereotypical, corporate-type talking heads, you know, when we build virtual worlds. The second thing is sometimes we're just not honest. You know, we do not, there is this fear that, you know, we should not depict real situations in corporate training. And the third one, which is related to the second, is that we do not believe in demonstrating people making mistakes in a training course. Because, you know, there's the myth that if we put out too many people making mistakes, that's the behavior that we are going to propagate. Actually, if you build it right, it actually works the other way around. You know, you watch in a tightly scripted scenario, if you watch a person making mistake and play out the consequences correctly, it's very unlikely that you're going to go back and make that mistake again. But, I mean, the number of times we see in corporate learning people just being hesitant and scared about not taking real-life characters is enormous. And I think, you know, if we can break one barrier, it's about taking learning out. And, you know, most of the learning is actually in a showcase sitting up there. It's got nothing to do with the real world. If we can bring learning back to the real world, have characters that truly represent what goes on in the real life, I think we can make the biggest breakthrough. The other thing is that, you know, we were working on a curriculum. So this was a series of 10 courses. We not only had to plan characters, we had to plan the growth of characters as well. How do characters actually grow through the courses? So that was scripted up front as well. If a person goes on vacation, you know, if a character goes on vacation, then the next course we're going to talk a little bit about the vacation and, you know, what happened there. So there's a storyline about the growth of characters that gets developed in parallel as well.
It also helped to create some addiction to it. I've had a couple of people say, once I started my first course, they're kind of reluctant to get there because we've been doing paper-based for so long. But once I got there and I took my first course, I wanted to know what was going to happen next. So part of it was the storyline, and as they were going through the storyline, they were truly learning our standards in our restaurants or how we work together in our restaurants. So it became a learning experience, although to them it was their soap opera they were getting ready to go through. We can kind of put it in that way. So then our next step, we will go and talk about the plot sketches now. So this, in essence, is our course outline. So Shailesh?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the course, this we call them plot sketches, and this sort of drives our narrative. So this is almost like a course outline, but not in the traditional sense of menu and topic one and topic two and topic three. We like to call it plot sketches. And the more detail, detail we can put in here around the narrative, around intrigue, around drama in these plot sketches, the better your outcome is going to be. So we blow these up really well and almost list it out as a plot, and then sort of introduce, you know, interactions and so on and so forth. So this is a really important phase of the development as well.
Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about is more our graphical mock-up. So let's go to there. Shailesh?
So this, again, is a vital, vital component because, you know, the graphics and the graphical mock-ups are places where people are going to live in. So if you look at our courses, they have sort of four layers to it, you know. So there is a background layer, which is actually the restaurant scene. You know, which in the remember I talked about two situations. One was the capstone scenarios simulation at the end, and the other were more sort of scenario-based learning, e-learning courses. In the e-learning courses, we had we just shot a lot of photographs. So we shot a lot of photographs, and we ran them through filters, which created a plethora of backgrounds for our writers to pick from. So that's the background layer. The second layer is the character. You know, which is again, in the first set of courses, we just picked up characters and shot them, and literally photographed them in a variety of poses. You know, everything that we could think of: upset, angry, happy. I mean, we almost had at one or two characters, we had almost like 3,000 images of a particular character, and we just shot all of them up. On the scenario simulation side, it was video. So, you know, video, there's not much more you can do from a planning perspective, except that, you know, we make sure that we shot videos on green screens and we could then embed them anywhere within the scenario. Mm-hmm. The third layer is audio. The audio layer is extremely critical. I cannot emphasize again the amount of coaching that you need to provide to the talent before they actually get into the recording. We would spend 30 minutes to an hour with each talent before every recording session so that they actually felt the character. So, you know, their intonations, their language is all around the feel of the character. And then the final layer is the interactions which is what the learner does with the environment. Now, the interactions comes from a set of templates. So, you know, that's, in fact, the easiest part of this because that can be coded up front. We have a variety of interactions and depending upon the situations, so that gets into the bank. So the writers, when they're writing, they pick a background, you know, they have character images, and then sort of they overlay the interaction templates from that.
The other piece to this is it is so important for our team members to feel like this is a real restaurant. Absolutely. And that's why all of this equipment was actually shot through a photography and then actually sketched out, and it had to be true to scale. It had to be in the right places in the restaurant so that, again, we made our virtual world seem real for our team members, because if it wasn't, then they question it. Oh, that's not a real restaurant. That'll never happen to me. So everything really had to be in the right place, the right size, as we were going through the process. So we started with really a blueprint of our restaurants. And that's where, you know, we handed all of these great things over to our partners, and they began to create our virtual world for us. And every step along the way, we said, that's not quite right, or yeah, that's perfect, let's add one more thing to it. So we really walked through that process until we got really our kitchen in the right place, and you know, we're continuing to add to that as we build out our additional courses that we're doing. But again, having it true to scale and really making it look like a true restaurant was important here.
And here, I mean, it's important for all of us to push back. I mean, mm-hmm. not accept things mm-hmm. which don't look exactly right. Because again, you know, you're going to put your learners in this real world, and it's really important for them to feel that this is exactly what they. The good thing is that you're putting this effort once. So this is all up front in the upfront planning process. It's not like, you know, you're trying to do this, you know, at every little course and every interaction and so on and so forth. So you're building this world once, and if you're doing that, then you make sure that it's exactly right. And, you know, the amount of effort that goes in upfront really pays off. We're leveraging this not only in these two curricula, but also the future ones that we're building for store managers and assistant managers and so on. So you're really building an asset library. And if you're taking that approach, it's worthwhile to spend that extra effort to make sure that it's right. Yeah.
This was really important to our subject matter experts as well, because they got just as hung up on it as our team members do. In fact, probably even more so. Our subject matter experts are not used to creating training online. They're struggling with it probably more than our actual team members are, because they're used to being able to see a piece of paper, handing me a piece of paper and saying, yep, it's good or it's not good, but having to go through a course, review it online, reviewing our standards online through our LCMS. We've created some challenges more on the SME side than we have actually on the learner side. This is a much smoother transition for them than our subject matter experts. But as they're going through it, they really want to make sure that everything is exactly right as well. So it's been a very different experience working with subject matter experts as you've transitioned them over to an e-learning environment. So our next page, we want to actually go through and do a little bit of demo. We want to show you some of this. Now, this is a scenario-based learning, so I'm going to kind of toss a couple of things up here. I'm going to close this out and just show you just an example of what our scenario-based learning looked like. And Shailesh, feel free to talk about it as I'm putting it up here.
Sure. So this is, you know, I remember I talked about a set of courses which are scenario-based learning, which ends in a capstone scenario. So this is the first sample of the first part.
Mm-hmm. Raj himself was talking on his phone. That made me laugh.
I don't get why Raj yelled at me. Is there something wrong with using my phone at the counter? He does it all the time. What's up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that? Raj seems to know the rules about using personal items in front of customers, but he isn't setting a good example. And he sure could use some work delivering coaching. Let's take a look at friendly service and what it takes to lead team members to deliver it.
So this is an example of what we did with our scenario-based learning. You can see that it's fun. It's kind of edgy the way that we talk. We don't use the standard corporate speak in there. but really a way that's happening in our restaurants as well. So this will take them through some scenarios around leading friendly service in our restaurants. So the examples that happen and how do you resolve those examples, really blending from the critical mistakes analysis that was done in the very beginning.
So again, you can see, you know, we're not trying to sort of sit on a pedestal and give them advice that here are five steps of leading friendly service or here are five things that you should do or shouldn't do. We're really immersing them in real situations that happen every day. And, you know, the other important point is, you know, the coaching component of this comes mostly when after they've made a mistake. So once they've made a mistake, we play out the consequence of that mistake. We believe that that's when the learners are most ready to learn. You know, I thought I did something right. It actually turned out to be wrong. It had a pretty dramatic consequence. That's when I'm saying, oh my God. And that's when I'm ready to learn. So you know, what we try to do in traditional corporate learning is tell. And in the end, I'll perhaps give you a test or a practice or a case study to put it all together. We try to turn it on its head and say, let's immerse people in situations. Because if you tell, very few people are going to retain, if anything at all. So, you know, we try to give them a goal, give them a mission, immerse them in a situation, allow them to make a critical decision, perhaps fail. And that's when you come in and provide the coaching. And we found innumerable number of times that, you know, that model is how people naturally learn. You know, and that therefore they sort of retain. The retention of that is way better than, you know, the traditional model, which is, you know, I'm going to tell you, and then in the end, maybe I'll give you a practice or a case study to put it all together. Mm-hmm.
So another version of this is our capstones. And our capstones are truly the virtual world where we have a decision tree. So if they see a particular scenario, they have to make a decision. And by the time they get to the end of the decision tree, they will get a scorecard at the very end that said, in this particular section, you did great. In this particular section, you didn't do quite as well. So it gives them an opportunity to start over again until they actually get the situation right. So I'm just going to play an example of it here. So it goes in, you know, and gives them an example. What would you say to a customer that's coming in? So you actually have an opportunity to say what you would say. So I'm just going to grab one of these.
So this is the example of a drive-thru.
And so, okay, so if I say this, and so that, okay, so they just continue on through the process with the decision-making tree. I know it's a little bit hard to hear here. So it says, now see my score. So it says, the greeting was perfect. The order variety failed. We're working on the words there. So perfect and maybe not so perfect, but failed may not be the word. And we've got some that we attempted and then one that was a nice try, but maybe not all the way there. So you can see that the overall score here is 30%. 3 out of 10 were correct. So it's really more around the whole interaction. So it continues to branch out and gives them a scorecard at the end of every session. And then we also have a shift supervisor version of it, which is very similar. Our shift supervisors are really our entry-level managers, so they have to make very different decisions as we go through the process. So this is actually, it says it's open the store, so that's what we want to do now is we want to actually open the restaurant. So now the restaurant's open. You can see all the lights are turned on. So here's some of the decisions that they have to make along the way. So we just went to the restrooms. And then they have to go in and do some of the activities here. So it looked like the restroom was clean, so they were checking it there. And maybe here's a decision that they're making here. Oh, something around the cook.
It's getting hot inside. Back up Kentucky Fried.
So we've got a lot of fun things we also include in here. So we're going through here, and I'm going to just back out. And then we've got some other things. We'll have our team member here.
As you know, this is still a little new to me, so I might need your help at some point.
So she's setting up the learner to help them take them through some of the additional activities. So it continues to branch out, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but really just a fun way for them to go through activities. Now, the capstones happen at the very end of a learning path, so they've learned everything that they need to learn in that particular job role, and the capstone is really their certification. So they go through this at the very end to say, yes, I am certified or no, I'm not certified. And along with this, there's skill observations and what we call know-how checks or knowledge tests. So there are some additional measurements as well, but this is just a fun online way to consistently evaluate our teams as well.
So I think, just sort of trying to encapsulate everything. The thing that's really important when you look at creating virtual worlds are a couple of things. You know, the most energy needs to go into making it look real. You know, don't try to build something which is, you know, space, video game, whatever, like, you know, it might, you know, people might enjoy it, but is it going to deliver the results, and are people going to continue to remain engaged? I think the second lesson for us is around the planning. You know, so obviously, you know, it works really well because we have, you know, a number of courses to work with. So we can plan really well up front and then leverage these assets going forward. I mean, I won't share details, but the cost of building this is no more than, you know, what we normally charge our customers to build traditional e-learning. So it's not like this is, you know, we're, you know, breaking the bank and, you know, spending everything that, you know, KFC had to, on the budget side.
I don't have a big bank, just to be clear.
So, you know, I mean, and again, I'm not saying it's cheap, no. But it's no more expensive than what you normally spend on developing e-learning. What helps is that we had the mass of, let's say, 20 courses to spread this investment over. But the unit cost of this was, relatively inexpensive or not any more expensive than what you would find in sort of very normal courses. I think this has been piloted, so we worked a lot in ensuring that it's implemented on the LMS and is being successfully delivered to the stores, and we're getting some really good feedback.
Yeah, we have about 45,000 course completions to date, so we do have, it works. We're to that stage now. Again, we're still making that transition from paper-based to e-learning, and obviously learning that change management is a big piece to that. And helping, really, it's more the managers and our above restaurant leaders. We just have to get it through them, and once it hits the restaurants, then it catches. But it's really getting through the old school folks that think, no, I can only train this way, and really helping them understand there's a new way to learn. Okay, Shalesh, I think we're done.
So, thanks.
NIIT, Business Impact Accelerated.